Watch lights off because we're coming home with a trophy.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Sharkcast Radio, a weekly podcast on all things Cronulla Sharks. Brought to you by the legends at Dyson Logistics. Couldn't be possible without the support of Jason Hawes at Cripps and Cripps Real Estate, coming at you live and loud from the Royal Motor Yacht Club. And at the end of it all, we wash it all down with a Shark Island Brewing Company beer, and we get our gardens done by Endeavour Property Services. I am one half of the podcast Sharks fanatic, Newman, and normally I am joined by my fellow Sharks fanatic, Sam Shenazzi. However, he can't be with us today. Unfortunately, Sam's young boy, Chester, has been through a bit of a medical ordeal. He's all good now, my little mate Chester, but his dad needs to be with him at the moment. So I'm going to be riding solo in controls of the good ship Shark Cast for this episode. So don't forget, you can email us, sharkcastpod@gmail.com, or you can get us on the socials, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook with the handle at sharkcastpod.
Michael Ennis, dummy half. Flat pass for Feeder. Defenders all over
him. Oh, he got it down.
He gets it down all right between the uprights for Feeder. That's going to level it up with 11 to go.
Now, the official records will read that the Sharks ran rampant against a pathetic New Zealand Warriors in what was somewhat of a training run. That positions us on the roller coaster of the COVID-affected NRL ladder in ninth position. And that is with 10 points and only four and against keeps us out of the top eight. The difference is almost identical with the South Sydney Rabbitohs, who are also on 10 points, but we have conceded more points to them than them. We're on 32, they're on 32, but because we've conceded more points against, we sit in ninth position. And, well, it's interesting talking points from the game. The club had come under extreme scrutiny and pressure after a terrible performance against the Penrith Panthers, and they went up to the Central Coast to take on the admittedly struggling New Zealand Warriors, and it was a romp, a training run. And the question now that people are asking, if they were to ask in French, they would say, Les Requins sont-ils des brutes sur piste plate, which means, are the Sharks flat track bullies? And in my view, I'm yet to see anything that describes any other option. Come up against a good side and get rolled. The wins that we've had have been against the perennial strugglers, the Titans, the Dogs, and now the Warriors. I mean, it was a good run. You can't ask anything more of the team. They absolutely blew the Warriors off the park, but I am going to hold fire on getting too excited and wait till they play someone who's actually half decent. The Dragons, who we play this weekend, are a better side, but you know, we're still not looking at the team. I still look at the fact that the team coming first, who are the benchmark at the moment, have absolutely blown us off the paddock. And although that was a bad day out, a training run against what is essentially a reserve grade team isn't going to fill anybody filled with hope. But you can only win against who they put up against you, and if we continue in this vein, the draw is so kind that they could probably end up in the top eight. Whether we can make a dent, I don't know, but I've said repeatedly on the podcast, and so has Sam, that it's a funny old year and we have the squad to make a dent in the pointy end of the season if we can get some consistency out of our big name players who are playing well against weaker opposition, but when it comes up to a really stern test, they haven't cut the mustard, so to speak. Now, the Warriors game, beautiful Sunday afternoon, and I do have to admit that I watched the game at a combined third and sixth birthday Frozen themed party. So happy birthday to little Scarlett and Olivia. It was a great day out, and thankfully your dad had the football on the outdoor TV, so I watched all of the game without any commentary on, and was reminiscent of some fantastic Sunday afternoons down at Shark Park with the Sharks just running in try after try. The Warriors really didn't meter a lot of resistance, and everything that could go wrong for them did go wrong. They had a couple of opportunities to score, which they bundled, dropping the ball over the line, might have made more of a contest of the game, but our metres up the middle, they didn't have too much to answer for when our forwards started to roll up the middle, and it allowed Sean Johnson, who's in was in vintage form against his old team, to just run absolute riot. And Sharks scored some really attractive tries. First cab off the rank was big, heavy unit Braden Hamlin-Ueli, who scored a beautiful try off a little short, an angled short ball. And he's now representing excellent value in the first try scorer market. Other notable tries were a beautiful effort from Sione Katoa on a kick return. Sean Johnson opened them up, and then Sione ran the length of the field, turned his defender inside and out, Peter Hiku, and launched for a try in the corner, and a couple of runaways to Jesse Ramian, who was just dead set unstoppable close to the line. I mean, it is pleasing to see the team romp it in, but it is a strange place as a Shark supporter to be, where you temper your enthusiasm for these big wins, knowing that we're really going to struggle when we come up against the quality. Now, there's nothing wrong with that per se, but I think anybody out there in Sharkland is going to temper their enthusiasm based on what happened against the Panthers. So there's not much more that we can say other than if we review a couple of individual performances. The much maligned Chad Townsend had one of his good games and racked up some try assists and was strong in the middle, but the real talking point was Sean Johnson, who was in absolutely vintage form, obviously had motivation against his former club, and he had some interesting comments about really feeling sorry for his former club. You know, he wasn't happy to be shown the door, and he made that clear, and anyone can understand that, but he's got a lot of love for his former club where he spent a lot of years, and it pains him to see what they're going through. And in my view, you know, it's an enormous sacrifice that the New Zealand Warriors have made to keep the league afloat, but they need some support from the NRL, because as it stands, they're currently not competitive. And if I was a player in that squad, I'd be looking at this whole situation going, I can't go home after a game. Everybody else can go home. I'm stuck here in Australia. I mean, they've made a home on the Central Coast. You know, we're playing without a lot of our top line players, and it's just very, very difficult to quite literally be making up the numbers. I see in the press that they've made an offer to Sonny Bill Williams for a few games, which would be handy for them, but I don't think a single player is going to help them out of the mire. And the NRL, I don't really know what I'm suggesting here, but it's going to be a long second half of the season for them unless they can get some spirit, because it seems like they have given up. Some other great news out of the Sharks camp is, again, our bench was super strong. Our new cult hero, Sia Talakai, played fantastically well. Royce Hunt was also a beast and denied a try in bizarre circumstances. Got tackled, ball hit the line, and no try. Didn't really matter. We scored out on the next play, but front rowers off the bench don't get too many tries, so he'll be ruining that big Rolls Royce Hunt, who's now one of my favourites. And Connor Tracy got on the field and made a bit of an impact. By the time he got out there, the game was essentially gone. A probing game from Blake Brayley. There were some other talking points. Will Kennedy back into the side, and while he did score a good try and chime into the back line, he was as dodgy as you like under the high ball, dropping plenty of bombs. And you just have no faith in him when the ball goes in the air. He just doesn't seem to grab those bombs, and it's a fairly important part of fullback play in 2020, and has been since 1908, that you have to catch the ball. So William Kennedy needs to improve. The other thing was Toby Rudolph had a relatively unhappy game despite the big win, with some handling errors, and we'll talk about that in the letters, that the Sharks really have trouble going from scoring a try to completing the next set. So not too much else to say. I don't think anyone's going to remember this game as a classic, but you know, it's one we very much needed to win, and one we very much needed to get our season back on track. And The team did everything that's asked of them. I think those academic listeners of ours out there now will be looking for what we would like to describe as a better, stronger opposition, so that we can get a real gauge on where we are. And on the back of a big loss against Penrith, I'm going to temper my enthusiasm. So I'm going to cut to a break, and when I come back on the other side, we will have the news.
Buying or selling a property is one of the most stressful undertakings that you can do in your entire life. Luckily, Sharkcast Radio is supported by one of the best and most honest real estate agents in the Sutherland Shire market and is an expert in the North Caringbah region. I sold my property with Jason Hawes from Cripps and Cripps Real Estate and could not have been happier with the outcome. Call Jason on 0410 417 450. That's Jason from Cripps and Cripps Real Estate, 0410 417 450.
Sharkcast Radio would not be possible without the generous support of Dyson Logistics.
Dyson Logistics provides tailored logistical solutions to meet individual client needs and is set apart by its personalized service.
Dyson has a strong worldwide agent network, enabling highly competitive rates. Find them online at www.dysonlogistics.com or call them 8399 1844.
Dyson Logistics, service delivered.
Welcome back to the show, and now it's come to that time where we see what news has washed in across Botany Bay towards the mangrovey shores of PointsBet Stadium, Shark Park in the Dark, Cogra Jubilee Stadium, and all points in between. Not a great deal of news this week. No news is good news. It was reported that Buzz Rothfield's, one of Shark's more polarizing supporters, reported that Dino Mezzatesta, the Sharks chairman, was cited having lunch with Peter Volandis and Mick Fuller. So one can only guess what that was all about, and I'm loath to report on what's happening in the gossip papers, but I'm here by myself and don't really have much else to add. Sad news is that COVID has reached its long and bony fingers into the world of Sharkcast, and unfortunately, we have had to cancel our annual party. Gladys Berejiklian has reduced group bookings at licensed venues to 10. Given that we were hoping to have around 60 or 70 people at our party, we simply can't do that legally, and the Yacht Club has asked us to cancel the event, which we obliged doing, although we were disappointed. We have to act within the law. If you haven't received an email and you've purchased a ticket, you should have an email in your inbox, and I've processed the refunds. It takes Eventbrite about a week, so keep an eye on your inbox. We will, of course, plan to do something later in the year, and it looks like Sam and I and a couple of our special guests might get together and watch the game, but that's about as far as we can go at the moment, because the booking is for 10 maximum. I'm really sick of COVID. It can go and take a flying leap. It's just unbelievable the impact that it's had on everyone's life. And obviously, I'm not sick, but it's a fatiguing, strange 2020. And hopefully, there's some light at the end of the tunnel in terms of a vaccine or some kind of treatment so that we can all get on with our lives without being impacted or the threat of us or our loved ones getting sick, which is no fun whatsoever. In some more footy news, I went down to the other Shark Park, Cronulla High School, and watched Cronulla Caringbah in their Sydney Shield tilt, led by Michael Leisha, a romp home against the Helensburgh Tigers. Really good day out, good to see some local footy about, and really great that Joe Leisha and Michael Leisha brought a bunch of boys back together, brought a bunch of boys back to their local club to play for nothing but the love of it, and they were far too good for the Helensburgh Tigers. There was no new Brown, as was rumoured, but there was Bronson Garlick, Michael Leisha, Panani Manami Waleli, Nessie Maratonga. So some guys that have some real big-time experience, and they were far too good for the amateur Helensburgh Tigers and ran home winners. Similar scoreline to what the Sharks did against the Warriors. So I'll keep you up to date with how they are going this year in a very, very strange year where there's no New South Wales Cup. Now, there were some comments on Twitter that's where Michael Leisha had quote-unquote ended up playing park football, but that's not entirely accurate given that there's no New South Wales Cup. He's chosen to play for free, just to play with his mates. And that's great to see, actually, within the spirit of the game. And he was very good. He's been grazing a good paddock, Michael, but he was far too good for that grade. Scored a try, set a couple up, and was strong in defence. So that wraps us up for the news. And when we come back on the other side, we will have the letters. This is Shark Cast Radio.
The Royal Motor Yacht Club Port Hacking is a hidden gem of the Shire, situated on the banks of the beautiful Port Hacking, and is the best venue around for lunch, dinner, casual catch-up with friends, or function.
They always show NRL games live on the big screens, and Sunday arvos are superb with live acoustic music in the beer garden while the boats frame the backdrop. And you mean I love acoustic music, you know that?
Yachty's Bistro is open 7 days and nights, serving great food. And if you mention Sharkcast Radio, you get a free
garlic bread, baby.
The RMYC Port Hacking, Woolaware Road, Woolaware, or check out their Facebook feed to see what's on.
Give me a ticket for an aeroplane. Ain't got time to take a fast train.
Welcome back to the show, and now it's come to that time where we see what little Sharky, who rips around the neighbourhood on a high-vis motorbike, has jammed into the slot, the news. Now, normally Sam takes control of the letters, but obviously he's not here. So we've got plenty. Don't forget you can get us sharkcastpod@gmail.com. And the first one we've got is from Mitchell in Ingerdine, and Mitchell says, shame the party was forced to be cancelled. I was really looking forward to it, but we've got to adhere to the rules. They are for everyone's safety. That's a very, very mature viewpoint on it. But he has written, don't suppose Horizon Church was explored as a possible venue. Heard they can have mass gatherings there. Very funny, Mitchell. Now, Caleb has said, so Teague Wilton makes his debut this week. Really happy for the kid, but whose cat did Billy Magoulias run over? Yes, it is a very strange one about Billy Magoulias. Teague Wilton's exciting news that the young bloke's going to get his debut, but Billy Magoulias has been around the system for a long time. He's done the business in reserve grade. Admittedly, he wasn't good at the start of the year, but he certainly wasn't on his own there. And yeah, very strange, but obviously he's not buying into the systems, or there's something the coaching team don't see. So what can you say? Nathan has written, hey boys, a much better game for the Sharks, but do you guys notice a small habit the team has when scoring after points on the opposition? We seem to make an error and not complete our sets from the kickoff. It puts pressure back on us, and for me it's an inexcusable error to make, and it's up there with not finding touch from a penalty kick. Well done, Nathan. I love that. My least favourite error is when you get a penalty and you do not find touch. That is just maddening. But yeah, not completing after points is also up there. And I'll tell you what, we're still making a lot of errors. The Sharks are Sam Shenazi, our stats man. We might get him to look into the errors. But last week he said we're making the most errors of any team in the NRL, which is a real worry. And yeah, Toby Rudolph made a couple on the weekend, and yeah, just very disappointing to see. If you can score and then put the other team under more pressure by kicking long, it, you know, really goes a long way to winning the game for you. We got one from Blake, and Blake says, long time no speak, but we haven't heard from Blake in a while. And he's made a very pertinent point. He says, in regards to recruitment and retention, I think that we've done well on certain accounts but failed in others. The failure to retain Flanagan, a.k.a. Chad Light, it seemed like a lazy comparison at the time, but it's become a lot more accurate since, in favour of keeping Townsend was a big miss. I'm all about Moneyball too, and the fact that we kept an ageing, much more expensive halfback in favour of the young, cheaper Flanagan was a real miss. Having said that, the swapping of the Brayleys was a big win. Blake adds a shipload more, and he said shipload more in attack, and is still solid in defence. Excellent points there, Blake. I have to say, with regards to the Flanagan one, I think he was demanding similar money to Chad Townsend. So basically, you're looking at an experience first potential type buy, but he was never going to stay at the Sharks, Flanagan. Once Shane Flanagan was shown the door, Kyle's father, and had quite a lot of acrimony towards the club for doing that, Kyle was never, ever going to stay around. And that's just the way things shake down. And unless Shane comes back to the club, I very much doubt that we'll ever see Kyle Flanagan in the black, white and blue again. But hey, stranger things have happened. But if he didn't want to stay... everything remaining equal, we could compare the retention of Townsend. But when you've got a player that just doesn't want to stay for personal reasons, doesn't matter how much money you throw, he's never going to come back, or he's never going to stay. So that's what happened with that one. And I agree 100% about the Brayley. Blake Brayley has a much bigger upside. I think he's already proved that. Still got a long way to go, Blake, but he's tracking in the right direction. And he's shown that by kicking a couple of 40-20s. He's getting his nose through the line, probing, and his passing is improving. We need him to bulk up a bit more in the middle for defence, but that will come with maturity. And I think that's you'd bang on about that point with the Brayley boys. Craig from Endeavour Property Services has written, he's doing a mountain bike race in early November in Canberra and thought it would be a great opportunity to raise some money for Finney Kula. He's looking at doing between 25 and 50K on the day, and he wants some listeners to sponsor him. So get in touch with us at sharkcastpod@gmail.com if you're interested in sponsoring Craig. Couple of dollars, and that money will go to the recovery of Finney Kula. We also got an email from Wayne, our mate up on Byron, Byron at the Artisan Press, who's been a big supporter of the team, and he said it's hard to be excited about the season, but on the North Coast there's a bus getting around in Sharky's regalia, and he sent a picture of it, sort of like a Mercedes mid-sized bus that's done in the black, white and blue. So it looks fantastic. That's obviously getting around the north or north coast. And the last one we've got is from Jordan. And Jordan said that the Sharks played some good free-flowing attacking football. The side certainly has no issues scoring points, but defence is still a bit of a concern. Yes, it's only the Warriors, and it didn't matter too much, but the last try to Wade Egan knocked us back into the bottom eight. Super annoying. Yeah, that was spelled out in the media. Look, I don't take too much out of that. It's still only the middle point, and we're on enough points to mount an attack into the eight, so to speak. It was annoying that try pushed us out of the eight, but we've still got plenty of games ahead, and there's plenty of points. And if we don't end up in the eight, it won't be because of that one try. I'm not worried too much about it, but I can see the annoyance in some of the supporters. So that wraps us up for the letters segment. Thanks for all of your correspondence. It really keeps the show ticking along. And make sure you get us sharkcastpod@gmail.com. And we're going to cut to a break. And when we come back on the other side, we will have a preview of the Sharks v. Dragons. Get your scissors out. Go up to the King Juan and get involved, because it is Derby Week.
Granola wins the scrum. Turns it on the inside. Mama! He's over. They've scored from a scrum play. Andrew Wright will be doing cartwheels.
Oh, wow.
We're going to the bunker. Let's lift it.
That is a lovely scrum play.
That one is hurled in the scrum, and the ball's been grounded in the end goal.
have a decision and going to the ball.
Well, what about this? The first try of the 2016 Grand Final will be scored by Cronulla's fullback, Ben Barber. Here we go on the big screen now. There it is. Try to Barber. Try to Cronulla. Sharks 6, Melbourne 0.
Welcome back to the show, and it is Derby Week, where we play in talk about 2020 being weird. The Sharks will be the home team at Cogra Jubilee Oval against our crosstown rivals, the St. George Illawarra Dragons, and that's at 5:30 p.m. on Saturday in round 11. And the Dragons, you know, they're having a battler of the year. They are running in 11th position, and they've won four games, which is only one less than us. But, you know, they haven't really set the world on fire, and they only just scraped home against the Bulldogs. Although, the week before that, they did have a mighty victory against the Manly Sea Eagles. And the week before that went down to the Raiders. So they are coming good compared to where they are probably 4 or 5 weeks ago. But yeah, it is not their best season, and their battles and their struggles have been laid bare in the media week on week. And some interesting team news for both teams. So I'll just run through our team, and we've got at the back William Kennedy. On the wings, we've got Sione Katoa and Ronaldo Mulitalo. In the centres, Josh Dugan and Jesse Ramian. And the halves are a standard Sean Johnson and Chad Townsend. Front row of Hamu Liuelli, big heavy unit, Blake Braley and Aaron Woods. Moving into the back row in place of Britton Nakora is CSC for Talakai, Wade Graham as captain, and Toby Rudolph locks the scrum. And the bench of Connor Tracy, Jack Williams back into the fray, Teague Wilton on debut, and big Rolls Royce Hunt. 18th man is Billy Magoulias, as already been spoken about, was overlooked in favour of Teague Wilton. Bryson Goodwin, 19. Daniel Vasquez, the soprano, and Braden Kenneth Trindle is in number 21. Now, that's an interesting looking team. William Kennedy retains his spot. I guess that will continue until we get Matt Moylan back. And the interesting talk there is obviously Talakai into the starting side. He's been fantastic. Jack Williams is back. Teague Wilton on debut. So the team is a little bit different to what we've strung together in the last couple of weeks. Tarek Sims is out for the Dragons. And they have a host of ins. Billy Britton, Ellie, Eddie Blacker, Jacob Host, Corbin Sims, and Tristan Saylor. So certainly not their strongest side ever. If you look at them, they're Matt Dufty, Jason Saab, Ewan Aitken, Zach Lomax, Michaela Revelawa, Corey Norman, Adam Clune, Blake Laurie, Ben Hunt, Paul Vaughan, Tyson Frizzell, Tyrell Fuimano, Cameron McInnes is captain, locking scrum. And on the bench is Merrin Kerr, Jacob Host, and Jackson Ford. So their team lacks a lot of experience, and on paper, we should blow them away. But beware, they are also playing for their season. They're going to feel strange running out into Jubilee as the away team. Now, there are codes lurking about if you want to get a ticket. Get on online, maybe even send us an email and we can get you a code. I believe the code has been leaked to the Dragons, so they're going to have a few people in it. It's an important that with 2,000-odd people there, it's mainly Shark supporters in the house. We are going to have to defend better. Our attack's been fantastic, and you can't fault that, but we are going to have to defend better if we're going to make a bird of this game, particularly missing regular heavy hitter Britton Nakora, and on the edge and in the middle, our defense has to tighten up. So that's what I'll be looking for out of this game. My prediction is I think the Sharks will win, and I think they'll win by 6 to 8 points. I won't be getting out there, unfortunately. Got another function to go to, but hopefully thankfully it's not a combined third and 6 year frozen party. So that wraps us up for this episode of Sharkcast Radio. Thank you for tuning in and tolerating my ramblings without Sam, who, as I'm sure you all know, I enjoy razzing him, and he holds the show together with his stats and his earnest fence sitting. So we're sending him our best again. Hope Chester's feeling better, and we'll see you all next week. And as we say every week, up the Sharks.
Sharks forever, go out and play without fear. Now's the time to see good football, for the Sharks are